Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Sometimes a kid just needs a place of compassion and safety while a family heals. That's where foster families come in. The Department of Social Services has designated May as Foster Parent Appreciation and Awareness Month for South Dakota. We begin hour two of In the Moment with a conversation about foster families. Joining us now, Kevin Canta. He's a foster parent program specialist and state chair for the Foster Care Recruitment Project. Kevin joins us from Sioux Falls. Kevin, hi.
Hello.
Also with us, Jessica Morrison with the Flandreau Santee Sioux Tribe. She's also tribal chair for the Foster Care Recruitment Project. Jessica, welcome to In the Moment.
Thank you.
And Marnie Boderman joining us from T. She has experience as a foster parent. Marnie, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Kevin, let's start with you. Tell me, how great is the need in South Dakota for foster parents right now?
Well, the need's critical. We have a large need for foster parents right now. Our biggest areas of need currently are for Native American families, families that can care for teens, and also families that can care for sibling groups.
All over the state, Kevin, just in certain areas, is it pretty much a universal need?
It's a universal need across the state.
What kind of challenges are these kids facing? When we talk about a kid who's in need or a sibling group that's in need of a foster family, who are they?
Well, they're kids that come into our custody so their families can heal. They come in for, you know, hopefully a short amount of time while their parents can work on whatever issues they're facing and so that they can eventually go home.
And how short of time could it be? And how long of a time could it be? What sort of duration are we talking about?
It could be anywhere from a week up to a year in some cases.
Jessica, let's bring you in the conversation. Jessica's on the line from Flandreau. And give us an idea when you go around and talk to parents, you know, work on the recruitment process behind getting people to become foster families. What kind of questions are folks asking you?
You know, a lot of questions that folks ask are just kind of the false side of being a foster parent. They think it's for long-term periods, or they have to, their obligation is more than even just doing respite care over a weekend, or not being able to choose the age or the gender that would be placed into the home, which I think is really important to get out there, because a lot of people are busy, but they want to help in any way they possibly can. And that's why I think it's really important that between our group, that we get out there and educate everyone to know that there are so many aspects to being a foster parent, and to kind of having your limitations as a foster parent, and if you can open your household to larger groups of siblings, that's a plus too. So we take, you know, we take so many wide varieties of families that kind of step forward and want to do a service for South Dakota children, which is greatly appreciated.
Jessica, let's talk about the needs in Indian Country and why it's important to have American Indian families serve as foster parents for American Indian kids.
American Indian kids, on or off the reservation, need to maintain that identity of where they come from, because I think that's just so important for children across the state of South Dakota, not just American Indian children, but for children in general. And I think that when we can place with a familiar face, I think the children just seem a little more comfortable. But that being said, you know, we always thank the state of South Dakota for having, you know, for allowing us to utilize any foster family out there willing to take in kids.
Mm-hmm. Marnie Boderman, on the phone from T. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about your background and experience as a foster parent.
We have fostered children for approximately 10 years for this within the state here. We've had children that have come in through just in emergency placements where we've had them for a matter of days. We have had done respite care to help other foster parents that are going on vacation, or we've done some medical care where we've taken some children with some challenging medical struggles, and we have done long-term foster care where we've had them for a year. We've also adopted through the state, so we still foster, and we've also adopted.
What made you want to get involved in being a foster family? What sort of pulled you in that direction?
You know, I think I can never remember a time that I did not feel that pull and longing to help children. I don't ever remember a time not knowing that that's something that I felt I was supposed to do. And I think it is different for all my family members, and everybody kind of goes into it with different fears or uncertainty. And so for me personally, I knew that was something that I really wanted to do. And my husband, he was not quite as certain. He was concerned that he would have a hard time letting kids leave our home once they came in. And we went to a church service, and he'd heard a message on the need, and that he'd left and said, you know, I think we need to do this. And I know he's never looked back on it. So I think that's kind of where how we ended up starting to get involved.
And how have you addressed that as a couple then, that notion of saying goodbye to someone?
Well, I think you always fall in love with kids that you have in your home. And sometimes it's easier than others to let them go. But I think it's been, we've gone into this knowing that is what you hope for. That truly is what you hope for, is that they get to go home. And so we've tried to maintain very good relationships with the birth families, and that does make that easier.
Kevin Canta, let's talk about requirements. Marnie's married. Do you have to be married to be a foster parent, or can single parent households count?
No, you don't have to be married. You could be single. The process we go through with foster parents, we call it a mutual assessment process, and that's just a fancy way of saying that we're giving the foster parent or the prospective foster parent information about what it means to be a foster parent, and at the same time we're collecting information about their family so that we can mutually decide if becoming a foster parent is a good fit for their family. Some of the requirements are you have to be 21 years of age. You have to be financially able to care for your own family. You have to complete background checks for anyone that's 18 years or older in the home. A home study is completed on the family, and they also do 30 hours of training. Something that we're really excited to share, or is something that we just recently implemented, is a blended learning model where it's both classroom training and online training. It gives the family the flexibility of doing training on their own time and not having the need for childcare, so that they can get that 30 hours of training. We're really excited about that, and it makes it easier for foster parents and for prospective foster parents to get through that training.
Jessica, what happens to kids in the interim? So how long does it take to match a child up, you know, who maybe needs care for a week or a weekend with an appropriate foster family? And what if there isn't one, you know, standing by that's a good match?
Tribally in Indian country, we run into this a lot. And actually working with the state, we have created strategic plans to kind of be able to utilize their resources. They're allowing us to use their foster families to help place some of the children that have been removed in Indian country on state land. And that could be with a foster family that we all have requirements that we have to follow. And we kind of go from, if we don't have a family member that is able at that point to kind of step up and take in kids, then we look to other resources, which is a foster family, preferably a Native American foster family. But if not, then we utilize any state foster family. So the relationship between the tribes and the state has grown tremendously, and it's going in such a progressive way that there have been other states kind of wanting to recognize our agreement as far as Indian country with the state, and kind of taking that leadership role in South Dakota as kind of mending that fence and kind of working towards a unification for all children in the state of South Dakota, which is huge.
Kevin, how far might a child have to go to find a foster family? I'm thinking of some of those small rural towns throughout the state. What's the geographic distance that might be traveled?
And that's one thing we strive for, is we want our children to stay in their community. Unfortunately, that doesn't always happen. It could be across the state sometimes, depending on how large the sibling group is and what the foster homes openings in that area might be. They could be placed 100 miles from or more from their own community, and that's why the need for foster parents is so critical, is that we strive to keep those kids in their community so that they're not having to move out of their community.
Marnie, you've been doing this for 10 years or more. What keeps you involved in the program and wanting to stay and participate as a foster family?
Well, I think foster care for me is personally everything that I ever longed and hoped for, but at the same time, it's nothing I ever imagined it would be. And I think some of the what keeps us connected is the need is so significant, and the ability to help, even if you only help one person along the way. It's so much more than what we ever anticipated, and we've added all these birth families are part of our family now. And you don't realize how much of a need there is even for the adults in this. They're mothers that have grown up in a way that I couldn't even imagine sometimes. And so it just the ability to help even just one person it's motivating enough to keep you doing this as long as you can.
Jessica, let's talk about those mothers, those fathers who are the families in need of healing as the children, you know, find a little support from other families that, you know, they've probably not met. What does it mean to those parents to have that kind of community support, and what's the challenge for them?
You know, well, I think in some ways for the birth parents that we've had connections with, we've always tried almost immediately to go to a visitation center when they do a visit, which is pretty quickly, and introduce ourselves right away, because I can't imagine you, but for me, if somebody had my children, I would want to know who they are. And so from the moment that we became licensed, I've always made it a point to go meet them as soon as I can and let them know that we're working together on this. This is not a mere, it's not anything. We're together working to help the kids. And I think I've found so much success with establishing those relationships right away. It is completely and totally a group effort to be successful. And so I think the birth parents, I've always had good relationships with them, and even still to this day, even the kids we've adopted, we still go and celebrate birthdays together. We still go to the park together. So we're part of each other's families for all of our life.
Jessica, I'd like your perspective on that same thought. Talk about the parents who, you know, are maybe in need of a little assistance at a difficult time, and what this program means for them.
you know, like Mari said, I mean, this is, it is such a group effort raising children. And I think once we have foster families and parents meet, it all of a sudden we're working towards the same common goal. And everyone understands that this is not a long-term thing. Sometimes it is a little bit longer, but this is just to help this family get some support so we are not involved with the family on a basis of removing children out of the home. And so I think that it is, it's just the parents question where the kids are, and once that fear is kind of gone, it's a little bit, they're more at ease knowing that, you know what, I need to get my case service plan done. I need to kind of work towards the common goal so I can provide some structure in my family, and then my children do come back. And a lot of these foster families that I deal with do stay in the children's lives, which creates support for the family as a whole. Rather than just, okay, you cared for our kids and now they're back home and we're done with them. They do. They create bonds and memories and become family members, which I think is extremely important for the children as well.
Kevin, what kind of work is done to help kids as they make the transition? Are there sort of healthy ways to bring a child into a foster environment and then retransition them back into their home or place of origin?
Certainly. There, like Marnie had talked about, there's visits done, weekly visits done. You know, just like any other child, children in foster care are busy with school and extracurricular activities and friends and that kind of stuff. And it's important that the families stay involved with that kind of stuff. And then at the same time, continuing to work on the things that brought the children into care. So it's that visitation and that communication and that building of that relationship.
We're getting a little background noise from somewhere. Marnie, talk to me a little bit about transitioning back then and saying goodbye. What's your advice to, you know, other foster parents who might say, how do you do that in a healthy way of, you know, moving on to the next stage as children go home?
Well, you know, I think some of the most success, like I said, is if you already have the relationships with the birth family. Mm. And it is something that is anticipated and that the kids look forward to. But it starts very just with the visitation. Then they move into where they're going home for the day and then overnight. And then it's a slow progression so that everybody is safe and everybody is okay with that plan. There's a safety plan that's put into place. So it involves many different people making sure that it's everything is good every step of the way.
If you're just
trying to prepare the foster families, the children, and the birth families.
Right. And if you're just tuning in, we're talking about to have foster parents, foster families for Foster Parent Appreciation and Awareness Month in South Dakota. My guests right now are Kevin Canta, Foster Parent Program Specialist, and Jessica Morrison with the Flandre Santee Sioux Tribe. She's also the Tribal Chair for Foster Care Recruitment Project. And then Marnie Boderman, who has more than 10 years' experience being a foster parent. Kevin Canta, other misperceptions, other things that maybe are myths that you'd like to clear up today about what it means to be a foster parent?
You know, what I'd like to do is point people to our website that has a list of some of those things. If someone that's interested in becoming a foster parent, they can go to foster1fd.org and check that out. And we have some videos on there and also some of those myths. And like you pointed out at the beginning of when we started talking about, you know, there's being a single parent. That's one of them that people think that if I'm a single parent, I can't be a foster parent. But that's not true. And you don't need to be married. You can be an unmarried couple as well. And if, like I said, if they wanted to read more about those types of myths, they could go to foster1fd.org.
Jessica, how about you? Specific myths that come up or misperceptions that come up frequently that you'd want to make sure to draw people's attention to?
Along with Kevin, I think going on to that website is an excellent resource. Also, I would like to promote our Facebook page, South Dakota Native Foster Care. Go ahead and get on that and like it. And any questions or comments that anybody may have, go ahead and leave them on there. And we're always more than willing to get back to you right away.
Marnie, what kind of questions you get from other people in your life, extended family members, you know, people at the grocery store? Do people stop and ask you questions? Are they particularly curious about foster care?
You know, some people, I ask a lot of different questions, I promise. Yeah. But I think many times it is what the question that seems to be one of the bigger ones for me anyway is, you know, how do you do that? How do you let them come in and let them leave children? Mm-hmm. I think that's probably across the board one of the most common questions that comes from anyone that hasn't really thought about it. And it is, I think that it is something that many people think that they would be challenged by. Mm. However, I could never ever look back. There is nothing that has brought me the kind of joy than helping these kids.
What are your hopes for the future? What do you hope that they will remember about that time with you?
I think my hopes for the future for the kids is really just that they're okay with themselves and with their future. And what I really hope is that they succeed in life, that they're able to succeed in doing whatever they, overcoming challenges. There's different challenges that has affected our kids that I never experienced with our birth children. And, you know, I look at fostering, and I think when you discuss parenting, everybody has the same kind of universal struggles and similarities to parenting children. But when you do foster care, you don't have that. It is unique in that these stories are so different, and you can't really anticipate struggles. And we've had to learn a lot through the process of how to help children overcome things. And, you know, there's many times that my hopes are just even that the next week is better than this week. There's been those weeks.
Yeah.
But what I really hope is that they're all these, you know, children that come in my home are okay just with themselves and know that they're going to be okay, that they can be very successful and happy. So that's kind of...
Every one of them is different, Marnie. Right?
Yep.
I mean, they all have their own unique...
Every one of them are different. Yep, yeah. Every one of them are different.
Everyone is a different story. So you're not going to step in the same river twice.
Nope.
That keeps you on your toes.
You can step in this... You can still venture in them areas, but it is different. Every placement is different.
Right. Jessica Morrison, you want to give us that website and Facebook information one more time? And if you have any final thoughts...
The Facebook page is South Dakota Native Foster Care, and like I said, go on there. And the Foster One website is actually connected right on our Facebook page. So if you are on Facebook, you can go ahead and click from our South Dakota Native Foster Care page and get onto the page that Kevin was talking about before. I'll let him kind of get into that. And I guess my final thought is I appreciate this time, and also I appreciate anyone that is considering becoming a foster parent. And it is a smooth process, either tribally or stateside, and we will lead you in the right direction. And we appreciate everything that you guys do for our kids.
All right. Jessica Morrison with the Flandreau Santee Sioux Tribe. Thank you so much for being here, Jessica.
Thank you.
And Kevin Canta, final thoughts?
And that website is Foster One, spelled out O-N-E, foster1fd.org. And people interested in more information can actually submit what we call a commit to know card on that website. And when they submit that, someone from their area will give them a call and talk about the specific need in their area and what it takes to become a foster parent in their area. So again, that's foster1fd.org.
Kevin Canta, thank you so much for being here today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Marnie Boderman, any last words before we let you go back to your busy, busy life there?
You know, I want to say, too, thank you for having us on today. I think knowledge is pretty powerful. And I do have to just say to anyone listening that's interested in becoming a foster parent, if you have questions, write them down and call. The phone numbers on them websites. That's exactly what I did when I started, is I just called with my questions just to see how I could help.
Right. Marnie, thank you so much.
That is about it.
We appreciate what you do.
Thank you.